Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
All right, let's pray. Father God, we're the choir. As strange as what we are, we're not claiming to be perfect. We're claiming you're perfect, and that you know how to save imperfect people and to put them in your choir. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let's worship together this morning.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased with me, and I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for it.
Perfect in all of your ways, to us.
who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Steadfast love made us alive together in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so we look at this. By grace we have been saved. He is our rescuer. He is our redeemer. And all of our hope is in Him.
Blood poured out for us, the weight of every Wasn't that good this morning already? Man, I'm thankful. I don't know where I put my hand out thing, but y'all can test me to see if I really have the message in my brain or not. We're going to test it because it's going to go a little different. God just laid on my heart to do something different kind of toward the end. But I do want to say, Nani's class, I forgot to... Ready, Nani's class? Nani, you ready?
Ready.
Break. Here you go. So good. It's always good. I always try to remind us how good it is that we have a full family at Christ Community. We got youngins. We got older youngins. We got young adultins. We got adults. And we got Africans. I felt like I was set up on that. Then we got LG, who's... one time I talked about the four quarters of life, and LG said, he's in overtime. You know, and so it's just, you know, we're just going on. And but we got everybody, and that's a blessing, y'all. It's just a blessing to be part of a church family. So family and friends, so glad that you're here. And I'm going to read Acts chapter 26, verse 9 through 18. And y'all, this passage of Scripture, it's in the book of Acts. This story that's being told, it's the story about how Saul of Tarsus, who becomes the Apostle Paul, how he got saved. It's three times in the book of Acts. You got the original time it happens. It's recorded again in chapter 22. It's recorded again in chapter 26. In our day and time, that don't sound like a big deal because you can get on a computer, you can take a little mouse, click a section, cut and paste. But back in the day, they had parchment paper and a feather. They would dip in ink and they would write and they would scribe that stuff in. And it was, you didn't just put in redundancy unless it was very, very important. The fact that this story, the account of the Apostle Paul being saved and called into ministry, the fact that that happens three times in the book of Acts tells me something. There's some basics for all of us that God wants us to see in this story. And it's not to make a hero out of the Apostle Paul and lift him up high. It's about to say, this is what Jesus Christ can do. This is what Jesus Christ can do in a life that's way lost. You'll hear him testify how lost he was, how hate-filled he was, how murderous he was before he had a confrontation, an encounter with the living Lord Jesus Christ. That last song, I love that song. Nikki just sang the forever, you know, he's alive forevermore. I'm telling y'all, because dead saviors can't save. Jesus Christ died on the cross and didn't raise again. He never met the Apostle Paul on that road to Damascus. Y'all understand? Dead saviors can't save. He's alive. And he's for you. And he's for me. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. Okay? And so, we're going to go ahead and read this and touch on some of it. But Acts chapter 26, Paul is incarcerated. He's on trial. He's kind of a novelty to his captors. And so they bring him out to give his speech for a dignitary, King Agrippa. You know, it's kind of like just showing off a little bit. Like, look at this pet I got. Listen to his story. Of course, Paul is ready. They're going to let him share the gospel. And he's like, uh-huh. He's ready. All right, so this, listen to it. He's telling his story. We're picking up kind of in the middle, around verse 9. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death... Do y'all get a sense of how serious this stuff was, right? So when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them, even the foreign cities. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise, stand on your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things that I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, that they may turn from the power of Satan, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Let's pray. Father, now we've heard your word. It's never going to change. The basics that were true in Paul's life, what you did to him and what you've done through him, these are the same basics of what you want to do to and through us. So help us, Lord, not to shy away or make excuses or put it on to somebody else. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves here, what you want to do in our lives. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just several things I want to bring out. Some are going to be on your handout, some not. The first thing is just to give the circumstances again. Paul was in jail. He was being brought out on trial to talk to a visiting dignitary. I wouldn't say that's the ideal situation. Anybody here been incarcerated long? Besides you? I kind of incarcerated wrong when I work on a Kairos team and we go into Parchman. We're there for 4 days. By the time that fourth day comes, you're kind of like, you know, it'd be nice to be outside of jail. Doesn't take but 4 days to kind of get used to that. Can I tell you, it's not the ideal circumstance, yet so many Christian people say, oh, I'll give a witness when the time's right. I'll give a witness when the circumstances line up in my favor. I'm going to share what I know, you know, when I really feel like the Lord's opened the door and it's right. Man, if the Apostle Paul waited for the time to be right before he shared, we would have never heard from him. This is the same kind of wrong thinking that we had when we're lost. When a lost person says, I've got to clean up before I come to Jesus. I've got to get my life right before I come to church. You all know those folks don't come to Jesus and they don't come to church. Because you ain't going to get your life right without Jesus. You're not going to get your life cleaned up without Jesus. You've got to come to Jesus dirty, drunk and disheveled, or however you are. You come to Him just as you are. There ain't no other way. There ain't no other way. We got friends here. I introduced them earlier, back from when I first got saved. And y'all, this isn't... I just want to tell you, I don't say this in any way to magnify bad behavior or to excuse it. But you know, one of my other early mentors in that church was a man named Don Floyd. And Don just loved me and the Lord. And man, even though I was still caught up in shameful things, there was a time I was supposed to be helping him do something. And I don't know where my folks were, my mom, my stepdad, they were gone, but I had my girlfriend to stay the night with me. We were drunk. And then my car wouldn't start the next day. And I had to be somewhere with him doing church stuff. I called him. I said, man, I humbled myself. I need a ride. And he came and got us. And I felt ashamed. And I felt convicted. And God used those things. But you know what? He didn't ever shame me. Jesus didn't ever shame me. He brought us on. Can I tell you something? If sin is what's in your life, and you think that's the circumstance going to stop you from serving God, you need to recognize who is stronger than that sin. And you need to recognize part of the song we just sang. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, sin, where is your whatever else sin had? Shackles. Because Jesus beat that stuff. He didn't beat that stuff to turn us away because we fail morally somewhere down the line in our mission. Can I tell you, in all my sin, in all my goofiness, I ain't never killed Christians before I was a Christian. Never once. I wonder how many Christians Paul killed before he got saved. I wonder how many people he compelled to blaspheme and say Jesus was no good and kick dirt on his name. I wonder how many times he made people cave in on their faith and renounce Christ, renounce the Son of God, in order to think that he was being a man of God. Can I tell you something? I ain't never been to those depths. But I guarantee you, Jesus knows how to reach that low. He knows how to reach this low. He knows how to reach wherever you are low. And that's before and after you're a Christian. There ain't no sin excuse. If Jesus didn't take away our sin, then we can say we had an excuse not to be useful for God and used in His mission. We can say we're no good. But He knew you was no good before He saved you, and He saved you anyway. And the only good part about us is that we've been saved. He gives it to us, man. All of a sudden, being saved, being created in the image of God makes sense. It's like, man, this is who I made you to be. Don't you find an excuse. Don't you even find an excuse in you. You look back at the Apostle Paul, saved from rage to riches. And the riches weren't of this world. The riches were an inheritance in the world to come. He had hope in heaven. So there ain't no perfect circumstance. There's no too far gone. Jesus knows how to take care of that. Can I tell you what is necessary? You need to have a come to Jesus meeting. You know why I think this was in here three times? Because Paul has this come to Jesus meeting. This confrontation. Knocked off his high horse by a light so bright, brighter than the sun. I still think it had like its own sound effects. Like, shoo-pah! And he's like, ah! That's how it happened. I wasn't there. But I bet when we get to watch the videotape, because I'm hoping there's some tape in heaven about things. You know what I'm saying? We got to be, you know, we'll talk about a big screen. But it didn't get in heaven. It just, you know, the whole sky and nothing determined to be like, watch this. And we can get it rewind that, fast forward. Shh, and it's like, falls off that horse. He's on the ground. He's humbled by God. He says, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. You mean the one I've been killing people who call on your name? You mean the one that I've been talking so much trash about? You mean the one I've been living in such hostility and opposition to? Uh-huh. Oh, man. What do you reckon he was going to get? I mean, you don't expect to be talking to that dude. He believed in him then, though, didn't he? Can I tell you something? Maybe you don't have no shpah moment like Paul had, but you need to have a Jesus meeting. You need to come to that point where you say, okay, my eyes have been opened. We'll talk about that in a minute. I've come to see who He is, and I've come to see how I need to kneel before Him. How I need to make Him my Lord and Savior. How I need to trust Him to take care of me, and I need to surrender my all to Him. I'm going to tell you, when we look at the Apostle Paul, what we see is Jesus saved that dude. Jesus saved that dude. You want to know the basics? And we ain't never going to get away from here. I hope, I pray, at Christ Community, we'll never get away. You need to be born again. You must be saved in order to see the kingdom of heaven. It just don't happen no other way. It's a must. It's a have to. And don't skirt around it, and don't be vague about it. Y'all, this is not one of those things that you should be vague about, like whether you have a warranty on your car still or something. Like, I think I got one. I think, I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure when the miles run out. I don't know, maybe. Thought I had one time. Don't worry, they'll call you and call you and call you and tell you about a warranty that you did. They make me think I had a warranty on a car I don't even have no more. I was like, maybe I do. Maybe I don't know. But you will not be vague. You need to nail that down. The Apostle Paul was saved. He knew he was saved, not because he was good, but because he had a meeting with Jesus. And it set his life in a whole new direction. Literally. Literally sends him in a whole new direction. That's what he does through him. He calls him on a mission. Now, on the day that he's saved, he gets knocked off that high horse. Shpow! The light shines around him. And then Jesus gives him this message. I've appeared to you today for this purpose, that you would be a minister and a witness. Can you imagine on the day you got saved, whether you was 8 years old or whether you was 80-some years old? Don't matter. Can you imagine on that day when you got saved, the dude who, you know, the person who shared the gospel with you, once you got saved and said, by the way, now you're a minister and you're a witness. Most of us, we detach our salvation from that calling. We kind of say, well, I know I've been saved, but, you know, I don't know what for what purpose. I believe this testimony is in here three times so we would understand this wasn't just for the Apostle Paul. It's for everybody who gets saved. You get saved to be put into the ministry of Christ and to be a witness for Christ. Y'all, you don't want to wait for the perfect... Everybody's waiting again for the perfect circumstance. I couldn't say that this morning. I'm having a hard time saying perfect circumstance. Let's say that on three. One, two, three. Perfect circumstance. Y'all did much better. We wait for the time to be right. We wait for ourselves to be mature. Y'all, waiting to be a witness, I'm just going to tell you right now, is wrong. It's morally, spiritually, theologically, doctrinally, biblically wrong. Don't wait. If you've been saved, you've got a testimony. If you know John 3:16, you got a scripture verse to share with your testimony. And if you can sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know," you're ready to start church. Y'all got it? You got a song, a scripture, and a testimony. You ready? If you got a hat, pass that sucker, because we own. You know what I'm saying? You don't need a whole lot more than that. We think everything's so complicated, we got to get to the right time and the right maturity. You want to get to the maturity level of Paul? Think about what happened to him when he shared Christ. Think about where God might call you if you get to that maturity level. If you won't witness here, maybe He'll send you places like that. What happened when Paul opened his mouth up and witnessed in Philippi? Oh, he got put in jail and hit with a rod 39 times. What happened when Paul started witnessing there in Jerusalem? Oh, again, he got arrested and a plot to kill him was hatched. These guys said they weren't going to eat or drink until they killed Paul. You want to be the mature guy? You want to wait till it's all mature and it's all tied up? Where do you think God might send you? My advice to walk with the Lord is you start witnessing now, church. How many witnesses are in this building right now? Every saved person. Every saved person. Don't you wait. What happens when Paul went to the home of the philosophers in Athens and he's on Mars Hill and he's testifying about Jesus and the cross and the resurrection and they just begin laughing. They just laughed him off and said, "Ha! Resurrection from the dead? This guy is stoned. Well, you're goofy." And they walked away. They wouldn't listen no more. You want to be ready? That's fine. But I'm going to tell you something. It'd be better for you and me both if we just started right where we are. Right where you are. It don't take much to share your witness. That's what God's doing through us. You'd be amazed. You know what? I don't believe we know half of our faith and the power of God with us until we start witnessing. Until we take a step out in the ministry. You want to see God work? Everybody's like, "I want to see God work in my life." Well, God doesn't work in your life by comfortably putting all the pieces together so you can see them beforehand. God works in your life by saying, "Come follow me." And when you do, you see the power of God revealed through you. And you go, "Wow, I truly am an earthen vessel, a jar of clay in which the glory of God is shining out." That's something. That's how He works. And look at what He says He's going to do through Paul. This is amazing to me. When we get down into verse 18. At the end of verse 17, he says, "And I am sending you to open their eyes." Y'all, that's faith. This is a reference to the faith that comes when the gospel's preached. Do you know how hearing comes? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm telling you, it doesn't just open your ears, it opens your eyes. And I remember when the gospel was shared with me, I remember thinking, "Wow, there really is a God. I really have sinned. Jesus really is the Savior and He's alive. And He's willing to take me. He's willing to take me. Not just as a servant, but as a son, as a brother, as a family. He's willing to take me." Wow. When your eyes are open to that, your eyes are open to a new reality. When I say a new reality, it's not like the reality part of it's new. It's just that you're newly seeing it. You're seeing now the way you were supposed to see. That God is in control. And all the scheming and the scamming and the manipulating and the planning and the hustling that you and I can do results to nothing because all of a sudden we see there is an Almighty God. Our eyes have been opened to the reality of who God is. When our faith is sparked by God and our eyes are opened, then we have a freedom. That next passage, that next line in verse 18 says, "So that they might turn." So that they might turn. That's the idea of repentance. Once our faith kicks in, then we get the freedom from God to repent. which means to turn away from. And what are we turning away from in this passage? It says from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God. Oh, I remember. I remember. Because it hadn't been that long. And I still fight. There's still a fight in me. I wish there wasn't. I wish I could be like LG and be walk sinlessly amongst the rest of us. Perfectly at peace, full of the Holy Spirit 24/7. But that ain't me. There's still a struggle and a war. But I remember when there was a time when I didn't have a choice to turn. I didn't have the freedom to turn from the power of Satan because I was his. Keith read a verse. He said, we used to be dead in our trespasses and sins. And if you would have went on in chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, it says, and we once walked like the rest of the children of wrath under the power of Satan. Not having a choice. But ever since my eyes were open and that faith kicked in, I have a choice. God says, you don't have to walk this way. You don't have to walk under this dominion of darkness and evil. Oh, I wish I could say I always exercise that choice right. But can I tell you how happy I am for the freedom that comes in Christ and how the strength. I'm convinced of this. Jesus can defeat every evil in my life. When I stand with Him, every one of them. And there's a freedom now to be victorious and belong to a victorious family and not just a slave kicked around by an evil boss. I'm so glad for that. He says, turn us from darkness to light, to turn us from Satan to God. But it's not just about repentance. And it's not just about that, but it's also about receiving. Y'all, look at verse 18. Look at what the mission is. Not only to turn people from the bad to the good, but that we might receive. There's two things right here that we might receive that, y'all, we need to bank on. We need to put our full weight on. We need to put our whole soul in rest at these. First, that we might receive the forgiveness of sins. We might receive the forgiveness of sins. Christian folks, Christ community, Jesus Christ died for your sins and He paid for each and every one. All of them. Quit toting them. Quit beating yourself up over them. Quit not forgiving yourself. Put all that garbage behind you and walk in the forgiveness of sins. It's God's idea. A lot of times we feel like we're taking advantage of God. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter how crafty you are. If you are Satan himself, you still can't take advantage of God. God is all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful. You ain't going to cheat Him. He offers you eternal life and forgiveness of sins. Don't be so stubborn to either not take it or to take it and not walk in it. Man, I know Christian people still beating themselves up. Look, when you sin, confess it. Turn from it. And start walking with the Lord again. And God doesn't need any of us wallowing in the ground, wallowing in the dirt, wallowing in the mud. Woe is me. Nobody needs that. You don't need it. I don't need it. We don't need it. It does no good. It's not holy. It's not responsible. I just feel so bad that I can't ever do anything again ever in my life for Jesus because I've sinned. So you're going to compile sins of commission with a whole bunch of sins of omission. That's smart. Know how that works out for you, okay? When you stand before Him and have that big Jesus meeting in the sky. Well, Lord, you know, I knew you were a hard man. And so I took the talents you gave me and I buried it in the ground so I wouldn't lose it. Here's back to you exactly what I had because I risked nothing. Because I stepped off into nothing. Because I did nothing. Because I was afraid. Because when you said forgiveness of sins, I thought you meant part sins, not all these sins. And this stuff was bothering me. And it was on my conscience. And I never dealt with you. So here's back that penny you gave me back in the day. I didn't make any other pennies. I just wanted to give you this back to you. Y'all, did you read that story in Matthew chapter 5? It doesn't turn out great for the dude who hid the talent God gave him. We're supposed to take that out and say, I have the forgiveness of sins. I ain't perfect, but I'm perfectly saved. And I'm here to tell you how to be. You can be perfectly saved too. It's not based on you, man. It's not based on us. It's based on Him. And He's got everything we need. Y'all know what John chapter 19 verse 30 says? It says a lot, but there's a really important phrase in there. Right toward the end of that verse. It's just three words. Jesus is on the cross. They put up a little sponge, wet his lips. He takes in a struggled breath because he's been hanging, struggling for breath. His chest cavity is filling up with fluid so that every breath is compounded. The sac around his heart, he's like got congestive heart failure because he's about to give up the spirit. So he pulls down on those nails and pushes up on the nails in his feet and he shouts this out. It is finished. And I feel like we have such an opportunity to go tell Christians and non-Christians alike that Jesus Christ has done it all and we need to set our sin down and move on with Him. Y'all say, it's finished. Finished. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. You're right, but I know what Christ has done. You don't know how bad I've been. That's right, but I know how good He is. And no matter what you and I have done, it is finished. Put your confidence in the living Lord Jesus Christ to take care of your sin. And if you want to know hope for heaven, it's that last thing there it said to receive. It says we receive an inheritance amongst those who are being sanctified by faith in me. And I don't got all the time to go into this. I just want to say it really quick. Sanctified by faith. You know, we go a lot of times saved by faith. That's right. Well, how do you grow in your salvation? By works? No. Same way you started with Jesus by faith, that's the way we walk with Jesus by faith. That's in Colossians 2:6. We're saved by faith. We grow by faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith. It's by faith. Okay? All the way through. This ain't no bait and switch. Get saved by grace and stay saved by works. That ain't how it works. Stay, get saved by grace, growth by faith. Does it make sense? Okay. I just needed to go off into that a little bit. Just a little bit. The inheritance. We got an inheritance in Christ, not only because He died on the cross to forgive us our sins, but that He rose from the dead and He's alive. Can I tell you something I'm convinced of? If Jesus Christ never rose, not only could we never be saved, all we'd have is some kind of partial, like that religious clean slate. Like, hey, you got a clean slate. I'm giving you now. Now don't mess it up. You got saved. Now keep that clean slate clean. That's like giving me a white t-shirt. Be like, hey, this morning I'm giving you this brand new white t-shirt. Don't get nothing on it now. I'd be the thinnest person around, man. And I'd be like, I can't eat or drink anything that's not clear. Because I promise, as soon as anything comes at me, I think it just now jumps off. It's like, no! Boop, boop. I can't keep a shirt clean. Y'all, if it's up to me to keep it clean, if it's up to me to keep it, if it's up to me to keep my salvation, He might as well not have given it to me. But can I tell you, because He's alive, I've got a hope. Because He's alive, I know I got help. Because He's alive, the one who started the job, He will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Christ. That's what I know. That's what I know about Him. Can I tell you something? If He didn't rise from the dead, then you and me are the cause of the death of the Son of God, and there's no redeeming quality. If He didn't rise from the dead, then God in heaven is a bereaved Father looking at us and going, no, they weren't worth it. I should have kept my son. I should have kept my son. But you know what? He's not no bereaved father. Because His son is sitting at the right hand in heaven right now, waiting to return. Amen. You know what? He's like the prodigal son's father. Remember what happened when that son returned? What did he do? Oh, great. Hey, son. Glad you're back. Could you feed the dogs? No, what did he do? He was like, my son. He hugged him. He kissed him. Sandals on his feet. Ring on his finger. Robe. Fatted calf. Keep it going. Called everybody for a party. You know what they said? When the older son came, you know what it said he heard? It said he heard music. How did he heard. He heard the joyfulness of what was going on. Can I tell you what the resurrection means for you and I? You know, we're just going over the basics again. You know what it means? It means we are joyfully received into the kingdom of God as children through Christ. Not stepchildren. Ain't nothing wrong with steps. I was a step. You know what I'm saying? It's all right. Not just a close friend. I've told y'all the story before about my good friends, the Himes. Y'all remember Jeff Heim came here and preached. Every day we used to go back to his house and eat. There was four people in his family, but they always set out five servings, five plates, five sets of silverware, five cups, because I was going to be there. That's where I ate. He lived less than a quarter mile from high school, and we would work out and be hungry. And so we'd come home, we'd eat, and we'd throw down. We'd get home this one day. Nobody in the house. Two steaks sitting on the stove. So, oh, man, we're like high-fiving. Woo-hoo! It's steak day! It's steak day! I said, man, you reckon one of those steaks is for me? And Jeff was like, yeah, I don't care. I was like, all right, we grabbed that sucker up, plated it, sat down. I'm going to, man, we're eating. And I promise it happened on the last bite. His mama walked in the door. She doesn't say hi or anything. She says, nobody had better touched my steak. I put the silverware down, and I lived a mile and a half away, and I sometimes would ask for a ride, but I just walked out the door. Gone. Walking home, wasn't no problem. I didn't say sorry. I didn't say nothing. I got up and left. But you know what I realized? Amongst friends and family, there's a difference on steak night. Hey, if you're just making spaghetti, there's an extra plate worth. You just frying up some chicken, there's a little bit extra. You know, you just having some veggies, there's some stuff. But on steak night, you don't buy an extra steak for that kid that, you know, your son dragged home. You know what I'm saying? That was it. There was a difference. Can I tell you about what Jesus Christ has done for us? There won't be any difference in the inheritance that we receive through God in Christ. None. When I sit at the table at the Lord's Supper, I'm going to have as much steak as everybody else is going to get. I'm not a second-hand citizen. I'm not a step. I got an inheritance in Him. And it reminds me that heaven is better than earth. It reminds me that heaven is better than earth. Do y'all hear that? We try to get all our good stuff now, and we get so panicky about things now. I don't care how bad your life can turn out. If you're going to heaven, you've got something to look forward to and to hope in, because heaven is better than earth. Can I tell you, God wants to do these things that He did in Apostle Paul's life. He wants to do them in your life and in my life. He wants to do these things. He wants to save us, He wants to grow us, and He wants to send us. Just like He did the Apostle Paul. He wants to save us, grow us, and send us. Do y'all get that? And you might say, where is He going to send us? I have no idea. You can talk to the Schmitz. You know, one day God said, you need to go to Africa. And they were like, I don't know what they said. I know what I'd say. Like, could you say that again? That was my bad ear. Atlanta? No, Africa. Annapolis? Africa. America? No, dummy! That's how it would have been for me. You know, they had to beat me and send me there. I don't know what He's going to do with you. But you know what I know? It's that wherever you are right now, you need to start. You need to start sharing that witness. You need to start going, okay? Let them, if you're not saved, let them save you. If you're not growing, I was reminded about this. Ain't but one, the best way in the world to grow. I was reminded when my seminary professor and the president of the seminary who just passed away, went to be with the Lord, just has entered his inheritance less than a month ago. Dr. B. Gray Allison, awesome man of God, World War II veteran, loved Jesus more than anything, great evangelist. Thousands of people have come to know the Lord through his ministry. And a mutual student said, if you had one sermon to preach, one truth to share, what would it be? And it sounds so simple, but it's about us growing. He says, stay in the Word every single day. Because if you're in the Word, you're going to pray. If you're in the Word, you're going to witness. If you're in the Word, you're going to do what God tells you to do. Stay in the Word every day. And I just want to share that with you. Now, our service is going to be a little different, okay? But do y'all get that? I don't want to leave. That was a message for today. Y'all get it? Let me know something. Look saved. You're doing great back there, Bryce. I like that. Two hands lifted. Man. All right. We don't do this very often, but I just want to share this. We can do with it what we want. But God had given some mighty men to King David. Okay? Surrounded them with some warriors, with some mighty men who have a list. You can go in 2 Samuel verse chapter 23, and there's a list of all these things that they had done. And it just talks about them. And it's lifting them up, not in a way that challenges God's authority, but it just shines some light and says, these men were mighty men. I want to recognize somebody, and they have no idea that I'm going to do this, okay? But I've watched them. I've watched them week in and week out be faithful to what God's called them to do, whether it's in sharing the Word, whether it's opening up the building and being available, whether it's coming to Bible studies or it's going to different churches throughout this whole region and delivering Bibles. But I just want to recognize Johnny Holman, who, y'all just hold on. Just a month ago, his back went out, and he's been through the rigors with all that. He's been doing all these things. But y'all, not a complaint. Still sought to encourage me during his time of being down. And we don't do it often, but I'm going to tell you, this is one of our mighty men that God's put in our midst. I'm thankful for you, and I love you. Thank you, brother. I don't know how we're going to do this, but I want to explain to you why I want to do this, okay? Last Sunday, I spoke in vague detail about the murders that happened in the Delta, you know, in Carroll County and in that area. Three people were murdered, not this past Friday, but the Friday before. And two of them, there's a husband and wife. Basically what happened was, and I want to go on, but there was a disgruntled relationship, marital relationship. The husband came over to where his wife was at a gathering, a party. And the disgruntled husband shot his wife, and she died. One of the men there, going up to protect her or help her, this guy shot him, and he died. His wife came over to protect him, and he shot her, and she died. Now, I knew about that, and it was tragic. It still is tragic. But what I didn't know last Sunday was the two, the husband and wife who died, were part of a praise band at a small church where a month and a half ago I was asked to preach revival in 2 weeks coming. Their church is eat up with grief. A month and a half ago, we didn't know any of this stuff was going to happen. A month and a half ago, they were working on the music for what the revival was going to be at Kruger Baptist Church. This past Tuesday, I met with their pastor, and he couldn't hardly talk. He's telling me about their kids and about how they've watched them grow up and how they're young people, but they are so dedicated to the Lord. They are an example throughout the whole church. And now these folks are gone. We've asked, and I want you all to be with us in prayer for that church. I also want y'all to be with us in understanding. We're going to take part of our praise team. I don't know how it's going to work out. But we have five services that we're going to minister to those people. And we're telling the rest of their praise band who doesn't know, they don't know if they're even going to be a praise band anymore. They don't know what they're going to do. They're hurt. But we're going to take folks from here and we're going to go there for five services, March 24th, 25th, 6th, and 7th. And we're going to minister to them however we can. Okay? We're going to tell them they ain't got to do anything. Just come and be ministered to. Hear the Word. Hear the worship. Be bathed in the Spirit. You know, just be washed in the Word and heal. We're going to do that. But you know what it made me think of? And it just, it happened when I was at the funeral on Thursday. I was at the visitation. I couldn't stay for the funeral because, anyways, I had to work. But I'm sitting there watching a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old boy stand next to two boxes that held their parents. They ain't got no more time to say bye. They ain't got no more time to hug, no more time for hellos and love yous and all that other stuff. And I watched that boy, and his face was just expressionless. You know, he's just grief-stricken. He's just, somebody come by and he'd pat him on the back. He'd pat him on the back and hug him. And he's standing there like in shock still. And it's hurt. And you know what I realized? I can't imagine the hurt if we brought that in here and how that would do me. And we're going to take a chance to hug each other right now. I don't know. I just didn't know what else to do. We're just going to hug each other. So, stand up. And start hugging people. Hey. So every y'all, we wake up, we live, we go back to sleep, everything just seems so normal and so regular. But can I just want to give us this advice, man. When days are good, thank God for them, man. Celebrate them. Hug them. When days are bad, thank God for them, because they still, you know, you got an opportunity. Even in bad days, there's hope. You know, but one day, you ain't going to be able to do that. You ain't going to be able to one day. And I'm going to tell you, we need to take full advantage and love each other. Even if it means being awkward in church and everybody getting out and hugging everybody. But there ain't no way. There's no way to prepare for something like that except for just saying, Lord, You make me ready. You save me. You grow me. You send me. You do those things in my life. And You help me be ready. You know, when they have the funeral, when they're going to look into those people's lives and they're going to see a young couple who got saved, who is growing in the Lord, and they're leading in worship. And it's going to be a good testimony for the Lord. It's going to be a positive example to follow. You know, when we live for the Lord, our example follows us out. And it's good. Okay? It's good. And pray for us. And as I do, I'm going to ask you if the ushers will come for the morning offering. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time. And Lord, I pray right now, do ministry in that church. Use Christ Community Church. We want to be Yours. Help us. It's not about us being perfect in what we say or do or sing or play. It's about having You as our focus and allowing You to work through us. That's what we're after. Make an impact in our life. And Lord, we love You and we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, if you have a decision to make for the Lord, you can make it while we're taking up the offering. I believe it. I believe it. Amen.
Jesus, the very thought of You, it fills my heart with love. Jesus, You burn like wildfire, and I am overcome. Lover of my soul, even unto I'm not afraid to die.
my friends, Lee and Priscilla. Do you need to introduce this video, Lee, or do you? Come on. He knows that the crock pots are crocking. He knows. He knows that the Mexican restaurants are empty only for a few short minutes longer before they
42 minutes is what
you mean? Yeah. No. But he knows this is my good they're there and they help me to understand the gospel of grace that's enabled me to stand and to preach, and they have a ministry and they're gonna share briefly about it. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for being here, brother.
Thank you. And basically, I just wanted to, I'm speechless after today's message. Our story is basically,
our story is basically a confirmation of today's message. God put us on mission, and we left a secular career to go into full-time Christian ministry. At about the same time, John left the party days to go in to be saved and on mission right away. And about 15 years ago, John left. 15 years ago, we left. And I just, a little 5-minute video of how God has used us. And John, thank you for letting me share. And I'm just overwhelmed by today's worship service. Feel like this little video is sort of anticlimactic, but the restaurants will still be there for you all. Thank you, and God bless you.
I worked for a small business for 32 years, and I started in the bottom of the company and worked my way up to one of the key employees. We were very comfortable. We weren't rich, but very comfortable. One day, after coming back from a mission trip, I dropped the idea that maybe we should go into full-time ministry at a children's home. And she thought I was crazy.
I was not for the idea at all. I wanted to stay with my family because my mom and dad lived there and my children. I was not ready to give up that.
She gave me some parameters about, this and this need to happen. But then she began to praying about it, and God fixed this and this.
God told me I needed to go. And I grew from that experience because I trusted in God.
And we ended up on the mission field in Nashville at the Children's Home.
Hello, my name is Kelly Campbell. I am the regional vice president of the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home. And I was privileged to meet Lee when I first moved on campus. He and some of his children came to help me move in. And then I served with Lee here for over 5 years. Lee came to me one day talking about the possibility of making his ministry a little bit more mobile and helping more nonprofits. So I spoke with him about the North American Mission Board, Mission Service Board.
What we saw, the need a lot of people had, organizations and individuals who are already in ministry, was that the fact that they needed people and hands-on, but they couldn't afford people. So out of my business experience and so forth, I developed this idea of being a mobile missionary, where I can go locally or I can go internationally. And the first experience we had as a mobile mission minister was to go to Cape Town, South Africa.
We had a team going to South Africa. We had a member who could not go at the last minute, and we needed someone who could be flexible. We immediately thought of Lee Harrison. We talked to him, and of course his answer was yes. What do I need to do? What can I do for you? How can I make an impact for the gospel and for Christ in South Africa? That's what makes Lee unique. He's a combination of not just a ministry partner, someone who can go and get the job done, but he is a person who has more compassion than I've probably seen in most. Unfortunately, in ministry, there's a lot of people who didn't get the job done. They're very task-oriented. But Lee has a combination of being able to get the job done, but also he brings a unique angle of having compassion and love for the people that he's doing work with. And I've seen this over and over again.
I'll never forget my grandfather passed in 1998. I had no way to get up to Northern Michigan to attend my grandfather's funeral. Lee took time off his own job and took his own vehicle and made the trip with me. It was 4 hours there, 4 hours back. And in one day, he sacrificed his time and his money. He wouldn't let me pay him anything. And that meant more to me and my family than he'll ever know.
I first discovered Grace Works Ministries while we were at the children's home. the whole purpose is to minister to the poor in the community. And that fit right perfect in what I wanted to do. I wanted to help people. I sit down with people who have needs and counsel with them. One of those people is Tom. He just come out of prison. But Tom now is in Michigan. And because of mobile mission ministry, I'm able to still connect with Tom. I have a lot of contacts there, and I've already put Tom in touch with some people in churches, and I'm going to be trying to find him work there.
Lee Harrison is an invaluable member of our team, really because of his servant attitude and his willingness to serve wherever we need him, whether it's interviewing with people who come to us for assistance, or whether that's helping in the thrift store. Wherever our need is, wherever we need him, he is always eager to help. I just couldn't survive without him.
I was blessed with a very good job, and I was able to support people to go out in the ministry. And I never dreamed back then that I would someday be that person that would be out in the field, ministry field. And it's even a bigger blessing to be a recipient of living a month at a time. I thought it was a great blessing to give, and it is a great blessing to give because I couldn't go. But now I'm going, and others are able to give.
I couldn't do what Lee and Priscilla do, but I'm thankful that the Lord hasn't gifted them, called them, and given them the opportunity to serve in this way. And I'm just very happy to support them prayerfully and financially.
So whether you have a lot to give or a little bit to give, we appreciate everything that you are able to do. And you actually are on the field. You've been to South Africa, or you've been to Alabama, you've been to Michigan, because you go wherever I go when your dollars are going to those places.
For more information on how to support this ministry, go to mobilemissionministry.org.
All right. I feel like I'm Brick 19. Brick, come on through. Yeah, this is weird. Y'all, please, these are our good friends. Just pray for them. You know, that I just wanted to introduce them in line with our missions emphasis that we've been doing. And so they emphasize getting involved in the community. That's what we need to be doing too. All right? Hey, I love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Oh, she loves me too. And ready?
Break.